au white, au red, au British way, au green, au grey, au black, au blue, au white in the back, all together now.
Speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Hello there, listeners, and welcome to the Watch with Mothers podcast number 47. A white.
A white.
A white.
A white.
As you can hear, I'm here with Napoleon. Are you well, Napoleon?
I, my friend, am all white. How are you?
Yeah, that's strange. I'm all white as well.
Yeah, so we're both all white today.
Wonder why that is.
Should we let everybody in on the secret? That isn't really a secret. We're saying all this all white business because we're doing Michael Barrymore today, aren't we?
Yeah, we're covering... No, that doesn't sound good either.
No, we're not doing Michael Barrymore. We're not covering Michael Barrymore. We're examining, you know.
Giving the lowdown?
No. Giving the lowdown? No. We're having sex with Michael Barrymore.
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chanders. It's Watch with Mothers. It's Watch with Mothers.
Just to clarify, we're not actually having sex with Michael Barrymore. We are doing a podcast about Michael Barrymore today. We thought it was about time, didn't we, Napoleon?
We did indeed, yes. It's been quite a while since we did one of these big celebrity jobs. We thought it was time to do another one of those. And we thought, who better to do than Michael Barrymore? He's obviously, nowadays, he's not quite the big gun he was back in the 1990s, but I think a lot of people still remember him fondly.
I don't know about that. I was defending him staunchly on the Twitters recently, right. And people didn't have very kind things to say.
I assume this is because of the incident that happened, which we won't really be covering today because it's a bit sensitive. But there was, you know, if you're not aware, there was an incident happened in Michael Barrymore's life. I think that's what put quite a lot of people off him, to be honest.
Yeah, no one's... it's the whole smoke without fire business, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, which I must admit I'm a firm believer in.
Right, but you forgive Barrymore for what might or might not have happened?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose I have to... If I forgive Jim Davidson for being an awful racist because I really enjoyed Big Break, I don't think I've got any option... But to forgive Michael Barrymore for the incident, because I was a big fan of Strike It Lucky.
I didn't mind Strike It Lucky when it was on. I thought his approach to the game show format was refreshingly anarchic.
Indeed it was. I mean, I don't know if you remember Strike It Lucky. I've recently watched a few episodes, that and Strike It Rich, which is exactly the same show, which we'll come on to later. If you actually watch the show, I've realised that at least 15 minutes of it was Barrymore buggering about with the contestants.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he had, like it or not, he had a way with people, didn't he?
They were his kind of people.
Mm.
See what I did there?
Yes, you incorporated the title of one of his shows into a sentence.
Yes, that's right. Well, it wasn't called His Kind of People, it was called My Kind of People.
Was it not called Barrymore's Kind of People?
No, it was called Michael Barrymore's My Kind of People.
That doesn't make sense then, does it?
Well, it does make sense, doesn't it? Because it's his and it's my kind of people.
Well, yeah, but it's androgynous, not
here
in the
go,
sense...
Here you go with your English.
Well, I'm afraid...
Here with your English.
Are we not speaking in English at the moment?
Yeah, of course we're speaking in English, but you come along, don't you, with your third tier of English, which you've learnt at university...
All I'm saying is Michael Barrymore's My Kind of People means Michael Barrymore is my kind of people, if you read it wrong.
No, yeah, but no, it means that Michael Barrymore possesses my kind of people.
Yeah, but because everything is capitalised with the first letter, it looks like Michael Barrymore is my kind of people. Which he is, to be fair.
He is my kind of people, apart from the incident. But I think he's everybody's kind of people, apart from your Twitterati, you know what I mean, all that lot.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah, well, they should just stop sending little messages to one another and go out and watch some Michael Barrymore.
Yeah, well, is it time to get onto the scant details of his early life?
Well, not yet. I think, first off, we should start with the speech, which is usually traditional at this time of the podcast.
I'd forgotten about the speech.
Shall I do that now?
Yeah, let's get that. I think that will set the tone, so
right,
get it out
yeah,
of the way.
We can do that, and then we can get the ball rolling, can't we? We've got a lot to do today.
Please, be my guest.
All right. In the annals of legendary light entertainment presentation, nobody comes close to Michael Barrymore. Whether it's impersonating John Cleese on New Faces, or whether it's impersonating John Cleese behind people's backs on My Kind of People, Michael Barrymore stands head and shoulders above the rest when it comes to making a career out of impersonating John Cleese. With his classic catchphrase of, "All right," his John Cleese impersonations, and his descent into booze-fueled insanity, Michael Barrymore has entertained, amused, and ultimately sent shivers down the spines of British viewers for nearly 35 years. And it is for that that we are here at Watch With Mothers to pay tribute to him today. All right!
Shivers.
All right?
All right. All right.
Was that all right?
All right.
All right.
The shivers down the spine bit.
Yeah, what about that?
Well, I'm not sure what you're alluding to there.
Well, you know, he got a bit creepy, didn't he?
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of Watch With Mothers. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mothers.
What?
Oh, what?
Oh, I thought you were going to start.
No, I'm not starting. You always start these bits.
And so, the early years.
The early years of Michael Barrymore. Shall I fill you in with a bit of background?
Well, let's start off with the date of birth, and you can go on from there.
OK, he was born on the 4th of May, 1952, in Bermondsey, South London. And that was one day after US Lieutenant Colonels Joseph O. Fletcher and William P. Benedict landed a plane at the geographic North Pole.
What's that got to do with Barrymore?
Well, that happened a day after his birth.
I just shed the context.
Do you see?
Okay, so he's in the North Pole. What happened now?
Well, he wasn't born in the North Pole. I'm just saying that he was born the day before these fellas reached the North Pole. He was born Michael Kieran Parker.
Or not born Barrymore, then?
No, he wasn't born, but he was neither born at the North Pole, nor was he born Michael Barrymore. He was born Michael Kieran Parker. And here, actually, incidentally, is the first controversy of Michael Barrymore's life.
Okay, fill me in.
You see, because according to one popular internet website, his middle name, Kieran, is spelled C-I-A-R-A-N. However, another one spells it K-I-R-A-N. No, K-I-A-R-A-N.
You consider that a controversy, do you?
The game's afoot, Watson!
What can you work out from that?
Right, anyway, so his early life is shrouded in mystery. But what we do know is he worked as a redcoat at Butlin's after leaving school at the age of 15. There's been a lot of entertainers over the years, haven't there, that have worked as redcoats at Butlin's?
Hold up, we know more than this, don't we?
No, his early life is shrouded in mystery.
Apart from, I did some research and read that he worked in a grocery shop.
Ooh! Do you see what I'm doing there?
No, I don't.
That's the international noise of mystery.
Except, Napoleon, we do know stuff about his past before the redcoat business.
No, because it says here his early life is shrouded in mystery. Ooh.
Is that Wikipedia, is it?
What do you mean?
So you've got nothing on Sainsbury's?
Sainsbury's? What, he worked at Sainsbury's?
He worked for John Sainsbury, the actual John Sainsbury.
What did he do for him?
He drove him about in his van.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because as far as I'm concerned, he was born at the North Pole, and then his early life is shrouded in a veil of mystery.
So you've got nothing on his pop band, Fine China.
Fine China? He wasn't in a pop... Where are you getting all this?
From the link that you sent me that you obviously didn't read.
Oh, I didn't read the first bit.
Yeah, he basically worked for John Sainsbury.
Carry on.
Wasn't happy with that. His dad was a violent drunk.
Well, that's per usual, yeah, carry on.
Allegedly. And he was in a pop band called Fine China. He had a very cool haircut at the time.
Did he?
Yep.
Was it like Tony Adley's off of Spandau Ballet?
It was more... it's hard to say, really. He looked a little bit like that guitarist what lost his fingers out of the Black Sabbath.
Brian May?
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Oh, fair dues. Have we reached the age of 15 now?
Well, I could track back, but let's just carry on from 15. Go on.
All right. Well, from the age of 15, he landed a mysterious job in the West End of London. Ooh! And it's there he met his lovely wife, Cheryl, in 1974. And they were married in 1976, when Cheryl became his manager. Oh, and incidentally, 1976 was the year that a general strike took place in the People's Republic of Congo.
So, he married her when he was 17?
So that 19... He married her in 1976, so he was born in 1952. So, like, we could get to the 60s with 8 years under his belt, yeah? Add another 10, that's 18 years. That's got us to 1970. So, 18... 1970 to 1976. Well, we can take 2 off 6, right? That gets us 20 up there, and that leaves us 4. So 20 plus, right, it'd be 24.
So you've jumped from 15, he gets a job as a redcoat, and then he married Cheryl at 24.
After landing a mysterious job in the West End, of London, the West End of London.
You've missed out the fascinating fact that he drove John Sainsbury of Sainsbury's supermarkets about in a van.
Why did he drive him around in a van?
Well, delivering groceries, I presume. Like an early incarnation of Ocado.
Or like Del Boy. Not Del Boy, Granville.
Yeah, you've also missed out Fine China.
Well, like I said, I didn't read that paragraph.
Okay, he marries Cheryl.
Right, he's married Cheryl. We're in 1976 now. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Right, you're there in your loom pants and your cheesecloth on your space opera, listening to your shawaddy waddy. Are you there?
I'm wearing platform boots as well.
Lovely. Right, well, anyway, with Cheryl as the mastermind puppet master pulling the strings from behind the scenes, Barrymore went on to win New Faces in 1979 with his trademark poor quality Basil Fawlty impression and multi-purpose catchphrase, "All right."
Has he changed his name to Barrymore at this point?
He changed his name to Barrymore in that period that lies shrouded in mystery between his birth and the age of 15.
I know why he changed his name from Parker to Barrymore.
Right, carry on.
He just liked Barrymore.
He just liked Barrymore. That's why he changed his name to Barrymore, because he liked Barrymore.
Yeah, carry on.
So he went off of Lionel Barrymore, then?
It was actually an American acting dynasty that he took his name from.
The Barrymores?
Yeah, the Barrymores, yeah.
Of which Drew Barrymore is a member.
That would make sense.
Yeah, and Lionel Barrymore was, of course, the granddad of the lot of them.
The one out of Give Us a Clue, yeah?
The one that wasn't Eunice Stubbs.
Yeah, so he's married Cheryl. How is she pulling his strings then?
She's the puppet master, pulling the strings from behind the scenes.
Okay, what happens next?
Obviously, he then goes on and he becomes very successful, which is obviously part two. We're not getting to that bit yet. We have to now, I think we should now concentrate on the meat of Barrymore's early bones and perhaps the greatest influence on his life, which was, of course, Fawlty Towers.
Right.
Yeah, well, obviously, in the early days, well, he was essentially famous for the fact he did an impression of John Cleese, wasn't it? Can you do an impression of John Cleese?
Oh, Sybil Manuel! Is that good enough?
Is that it?
That's as good as his, isn't it?
He sounded like Donald Sinden.
It's not easy to do a Cleese impression, so...
Donald Sinden, that's what you sounded like.
Hats off to Barrymore, it's not easy.
It's not? Okay, I'll give it a go. Hang on. Sybil! What about that? Was that any good?
That was him in panic mode, but he only does that very briefly, doesn't he?
All right, so I've got to try and do a more sensible John Cleese. Is that what you're saying?
Please.
Hey,
don't like that. I think this parrot's dead. Do you see my silly warp? I say.
Was that Basil Fawlty?
No, that was the Monty Python character.
Right, OK. Well, hold on. Third time's a charm.
I say, I don't like it in this hotel. It stinks. We have to go somewhere else. Do you see?
No.
Is that any better?
That's no good, but what can you tell us about Cheryl, then?
Well, Cheryl, she was a lovely lady.
Was she?
I assume so.
She doesn't really do much talking, does she?
Not really, no, because, like I say, she's behind the scenes. She's like, do you know that Vincent Price film?
Hmm.
Yeah? She's
Which
like
one?
That.
Which one?
Oh, that one.
Oh, you've done no research.
I have done research. I've got loads here. Wait a minute. Just fucking bear with me here. Can you hear this?
Yes, yeah, an empty pad. An
right,
empty pad.
Page one, bang. Page two, bang. Page three, bang. I've got three pages of research here.
Who were Barrymore's two principal influences? They were not John Cleese.
They were John Cleese and they were Basil Fawlty.
Incorrect. Dave Allen and Bruce Forsyth.
Well, everybody knows that's the same thing.
I got this hideous diarrhea. I'm coming out of my anus. I'd rather be reading large men and mothers. I've got this diarrhea. It really needs seem to.
So, with that hugely detailed portrayal of the early years. Let's move on to the Dizzy Heights, and I hope you've done your research.
I don't think we left any stone unturned in the previous section, did we?
You did, I did not.
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, did you, for instance, know that US Lieutenant Colonels Joseph O. Fletcher and William P. Benedict landed a plane at the geographic North Pole on the 5th of May 1952?
I wasn't aware of that, but it doesn't relate to Barrymore's life in the slightest, does it?
Turning over all the stones, were you?
Fine China, what do you
know
about them?
The evidence is there, my friend. They only need to press rewind on the tape recorders and they can go back to the bit where you didn't know about that.
John Sainsbury.
Do you see? Now then, we're moving on now to the Dizzy Heights. So, shall I tell you a bit about Barrymore's Dizzy Heights?
Give us some idea of context. What period are we talking?
Well, we're talking after he's won New Faces, which obviously was in 1976... So we're around about 1979 now.
Okay.
Do you see?
Yeah, heading into the 80s.
We're heading into the 80s, but at the moment we're in 1979.
All right.
Now then, after winning New Faces, Barrymore became a regular panelist on Blankety Blank, as well as the warm-up man for Larry Grayson on The Generation Game. He also appeared on Now Who Do You Do, the follow-up to the Freddie star Faith Brown and Little and Large starring Who Do You Do?
I don't remember there being a paleontologist on Blankety Blank.
No, he wasn't a paleontologist on Blankety Blank. I fell over my own tongue. I meant to say panelist. I didn't. I said panelologist.
Podologist, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, he was on this programme, Who Do You Do? Do you remember that?
It sounds a bit saucy.
Well, no, it's not. People having sex with one another. This is the 70s.
People had sex with one another in the 70s?
No, they had sex with one another in the 1970s, or neither me nor you would be here.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not saying they didn't have sex on the television, did they?
All around the house, I'd imagine.
I see what you did there. Well, anyway, Who Do You Do, surprisingly enough, wasn't a sex programme. It was an impressions programme. And have a guess who Michael Barrymore did an impression of.
John Sainsbury.
No, John Cleese, badly.
Right.
Right, anyway, other appearances included Seaside Special, which was a 1970s variety show that featured the life of likes of Keith Harrison Orville, Jim Nick Davison and Shawaddy Waddy. You remember that?
Who did they do?
No, it was each week, it was a different sort of lineup. So, for instance, one of the readers on the site, Mr. H, that big fat Scotch bastard, said the other day that he went to the recording in Scarborough, which had Dana and Jim Nick Davidson. And, for his information, was also hosted by Diddy Hamilton.
What, Dana International, the transsexual
not
singing
Dana
star?
Dana International, the original Dana. Dana 1. Dana O.
Dana 1-0.
No, not Dana 1-0, Dana O.
What was Shawaddy? Who did Shawaddy Waddy do?
Let's go for a little walk. Ba-dum, ba-dum. Under the moon of love. And I love you. Who? And I need you. Who? And I want you to be my... That one.
Right. Was this on ITV, was it?
No, Seaside Special was BBC.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, he did that. He appeared on that and at other shows. Similar sort of vein variety, such as Cabaret Showtime and Starburst, but those two remain shrouded in mystery. Anyway, after that, he became quite popular, and it led to regular appearances on Russ Abbott's television Madhouse in 1981.
That was a madhouse, I remember
that. It was
that.
A madhouse, yes. It predated Russ Abbott's Laughter Show, which obviously came later, which was on the BBC, but I believe... Russ Abbott's television Madhouse was on ITV.
Right, they were all chopping and changing channels just like they do these days.
They were, yeah. I mean, there's really no difference between the television of then and the television of today.
No, it was shit then and it's shitty now.
Indeed it is, as I think you, of all people on this sceptred Isle of Ars, can attest to, seeing as I think you probably watch more shit television than I think anybody else.
I watch too much, some might say.
You do indeed. Anyway, Russ Abbott, he proved very popular on that, and ITV bosses came to him and gave him his own show in 1983, The Michael Barrymore Show. Hey, so he's hit the big time.
All right.
All right. It was also in 1983 that Barrymore appeared on his first Royal Variety performance in front of Her Majesty the Queen on the same bill as Bonnie Langford, Julia McKenzie, the Roly-Polies, Wayne Sleep and Twiggy. There really was a shortage of quality entertainment in the 1980s.
Yeah, I wonder what the Queen made of the Roly-Polies.
The Roly-Polies. Do you remember the Roly-Polies? They were just... The whole thing was they were just big fat women that rolled around, weren't they?
It was four obese women and an extra obese woman who couldn't do the routines and wore glasses.
She was the glasses one. Didn't they used to make regular appearances on Les Dawson?
Yeah, but I'd imagine they'd be indistinguishable from Les, really.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that was the point, that he was a roly-poly fella, and here he was with some roly-poly girls.
Yeah, it wouldn't really... I don't know, maybe they're claiming the roly-poly term back. It's actually quite revolutionary.
Well, a bit like other people claim, you know, I'm not saying they're the words they've reclaimed, as it were, even though usually this reclamation thing is quite strange, because they're not reclaiming it, they're actually claiming it, aren't they?
Well, no, because they were called that, and now they're calling themselves it,
yeah,
so it is a reclaim.
It's not really reclaiming, it's claiming, you know, to reclaim something says that you had it in the first place.
Yeah, like baggage reclaim.
Yeah, whereas, it should be, they've claimed it, so, I mean, I'd say that the Roly-Polies have claimed the highly offensive, fattest term, Roly-Poly.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, I'll go with that, yeah.
Yeah, do you see? Anyway, from there, he's given his own game show, Strike It Lucky, in 1986. That was also the year that hailstones weighing 2.2 pounds fell on the Gopal Ganj district of Bangladesh, killing 92 people.
Jesus, how big were these hailstones?
2.2 pounds!
That's two and a bit bags of sugar.
How big's a human head?
About 2.2 pounds.
About 2.2 pounds. So we're talking about hailstones the size of a human head falling from the sky. No wonder 92 people in the Gopal Ganj district of Bangladesh got killed off of them.
Well, how did Barrymore feel about this?
Well, I don't think Barrymore was very happy. Obviously, well, mind that said, he had landed the Strike It Lucky gig, so he probably wasn't that bothered.
Conflicting emotions for
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, we're going to gloss over Strike It Lucky, because I think anybody who knows the format of these knows full well what's going to happen with that.
Well, yeah, I think you've teased it there. Let's not give them the full story.
Exactly. Well, anyway, obviously, during and after Strike It Lucky, Barrymore went on to host three more shows. There was My Kind of People, My Kind of Music, and Kids Say the Funniest Things.
They do, though, don't they?
They do, though, don't they? Have you heard a child say a funny thing?
Yeah, the last time I laughed, a child, he didn't say something, he pulled a bogey out of his nose and showed me.
That's always a comedy classic.
But kids showing me bogeys is the funniest thing, wouldn't make a good show, would it?
No, I don't think it would. I think the funniest thing I can remember a kid saying to me, well, not particularly recently, but within the last 3 to 4 years, was I was at my friend's house, and she's got a little daughter. She's not so little now, she's 8. But at the time, she'd have been about 5 years old. And there was an advert on the TV, and it was for that Nescafe Alto Gusto, whatever the fuck. Do you know that machine that makes coffee?
Yeah.
Like a coffee machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a machine that makes coffee.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Something like Nesto Gusto, it makes coffee.
Right.
Right, well anyway, there was an advert on the TV, and it had James Brown's, like a sex machine, that one. Oh, I like a sex machine.
Inappropriate, yeah.
I like a sex machine. Like that, yeah? Anyway, we're all watching the TV, and she turns around, bless her heart, and she goes, "What's a sex machine, Mummy?" And we laughed.
That's not saying a funny thing, though. It's asking a funny question.
Well, no, but it is children saying the funniest things. Admittedly, now I've said it back, it's not that funny.
So, should we start with the first of those, or
my
is that all you're going to say about them?
Yeah, well, no, we can start with My Kind of People. Ready?
Michael Barrymore is My Kind of People.
Well, Michael Barrymore's My Kind of People. It ran for only one series, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, 6 episodes in 1995, which, by the way, was the year the San Francisco 49ers became the first American football team to win the Super Bowl 5 times in America.
I don't know anything about American football, and I don't care.
Well, it's essentially rugby with armour and lots of stoppages.
Yeah, big boys rugby, my mum used to call it, mockingly.
Big boys, yeah, is that, and your mum knows her onions.
She does, she knows quite a lot about different kinds of onions.
She's a lot of brain in a small package.
I'll tell her you said that, she'll be flattered, I'm sure.
Oh, well, there you go then. I don't mean she's a dwarf, don't get me wrong. But I mean, women are small, aren't they?
They're smaller than men. What's this onions business got to do with Barrymore?
You're the one that brought your mother up.
Well, you brought up American football.
The format of the show saw Barrymore travelling around the country in a flash sports car, visiting shopping centres and arsing about in the background as members of the public performed acts before him.
Yeah, I saw a clip of this that you sent me.
Is this the Susan Boyle one?
It's the Susan Boyle clip, yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
Well, I just couldn't believe this show was made. It's basically Britain's Got Talent in a low-rent shopping mall with Michael Barrymore doing... Well, what is he doing in the background?
Well, I mean, to fill people in, Susan Boyle auditioned for Michael Barrymore's My Kind of People in 1995... I don't think she was actually featured on the finished show, but it's on there on the internet. But what happens is she comes on, she sings one of her bloody awful musical songs, doesn't she? You know, like that thing she did on the X Factor.
Yeah, where she went, "I have a dream of times gone by.
I love it in France, etc."
Yeah, she did that. Yeah.
She did that. Anyway, she's doing one of them god-awful bloody songs. Meanwhile, Barrymore's in the background, buggering about, doing his usual, malarkey, his business. And then all of a sudden he goes down on his back, doesn't he? And starts inching sort of along on his back behind Susan Boyle and eventually with his head effectively resting in between her legs with him looking up her skirt.
Yeah, Michael Barrymore invented the upskirt shot.
Yeah, apparently so. And... that was, I mean, obviously quite not quite as extreme as the Susan Boyle example, but that was pretty much the format of the show. It was members of the public singing rubbish, doing juggling, whatever, with Barrymore taking the piss out of it in the background. That was the format of the show. As I said to you earlier on, how on earth would you pitch that to the ITV?
And I replied, you'd say, it's got Michael Barrymore in it.
Exactly, to which they would reply...
Where do we sign?
Exactly. So, anyway... Amazingly enough, that actually managed to last an entire series, and then it moved on and was incorporated into a show called My Kind of Music, or Michael Barrymore is My Kind of Music.
Which doesn't make any sense. That's even worse.
Well, no, obviously. I mean, unless it means Michael Barrymore is My Kind of Music.
Well, if you broke Michael Barrymore down to a series of notes, I wonder what he would sound like.
Probably, boop. It'd definitely start off like that. Boop.
Yeah, it would start off with that. It would go, boop. White.
Bah. And that could be the dramatic decline of his career.
Makes sense to me.
Lovely. So, I mean, we have reduced Michael Barrymore down to just a few notes, which I'm quite pleased about there. And this Nick Tan fella thinks that he's a musician.
We should get him to record that.
We should do, really, yeah. Actually, it would save me a job of writing a song.
Hello. I am Eros Abbott from the Eros Abbott Laughter Show. I am here to say, listen to what you with the madness, or I will kill you. Me, Eros Abbott. Oh my, I love a party with a happy atmosphere. Thank you.
Beep. Michael Barrymore.
Anyway, right. Just to finish off, before we move on to the real meat of the bones, my kind of music ran for 5 series from the 8th of February 1998 to the 29th of March 2002, which is the same year Estonia hosted the Eurovision Song Contest.
Right, but again, you're bringing in historical context, which isn't in any way related.
Yeah, but I'm fleshing it out.
It doesn't provide any understanding of Barrymore's mindset at the time.
It gives the listeners a context in which to think of Michael Barrymore within a wider frame of the world.
Yeah, but some Bangladeshi dude getting whacked on the head by a head-sized piece of hail isn't giving us any information about Barrymore's mindset.
Ah, but it is, you see, because that was in Bangladesh, and as you well know, Bangladesh once was a British colony. Well, it was called India then. And so a lot of people from there ended up here, working in the factories and, you know, getting their own businesses and what have you. Yeah? So what you've got is a load of Indians or Bangladeshis over here that will be able to relate to Michael Barrymore's Strike It Lucky or My Kind of Music or whatever the bloody hell it was, because they'll go, oh, I remember that show now. That was on in the year that Uncle Rajesh had a hailstone the size of a head hit him on the head and it killed him, along with 91 other people.
Right, well, it's a good job you included that nugget then, isn't it?
Yes, do you see? So for the lot of the listeners, especially listeners who have lost people because enormous hailstones have landed on their head, or that people who are related to people who won the Super Bowl will be happy about this. Do you see?
Just continue, please.
Right, the show was a game show where 3 teams of 2 people tested their musical knowledge against their rivals in a series of rounds that were effectively a mishmash of Name That Tune, Catchphrase and Barrymore's previous show, which was obviously My Kind of People. With the contestants and audience singing songs badly in an attempt to win £13,000. I've written here, it was fucking awful and was cancelled after the incident.
Oh, it was during that time, was it?
It started in 98, but it was cancelled in 2002. The incident took place in 2001. They let it limp on, and then obviously after 2001, and they showed the last series, and that was the end of that.
So I assume he was battling the demon Grog, as he was recording the Michael Barrymore Is My Kind of Music.
He was indeed recording it while he was... he was drinking while he was recording it. So, the whole period got messy. And the same with Kids Say the... They say the funniest thing. which actually had 2 series, but the second series has never been seen, ever.
I wonder why not. Has it got weird bits in it?
Well, it was due to go out, and then the incident happened, and obviously ITV never ever showed it.
What's his favourite tipple, Barrymore?
Probably creme de menthe.
Hmm.
That green stuff.
Do you know who his favourite Gibb brother is?
My favourite is obviously Barry.
Yeah, he likes Barrymore.
Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Now then, we obviously move on to the boned meat of Michael Barrymore's career, which is, of course, Strike It Lucky. Yay!
Hooray!
Hey, ran from 1986 to 1999 on ITV. So that's a run of how many years is that?
I'm always amazed by the longevity of these shows, you know.
Are you?
Yeah, so when was it? 1980?
1986 to 1999.
Cripes, that's 13 years.
13 years, yeah. So I'm obviously not as record-breaking as Last of the Summer Wine, which has run for, I think, at least 400 years.
Yes.
But not bad, 13 years, not bad run. to fill you in on it a bit, it was based on the US game show of the same name, which also came out in 1986. It was obviously so immediately popular, they flogged it off to the rest of the world, and Barrymore got the British gig.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1987, a mere year after it started, it was the fifth most watched TV show on British television.
Christ, do you know what it was behind?
I don't, unfortunately, no. That's, unfortunately, shrouded in a veil of mystery.
So I presume one of them would be Coronation Street.
Coronation Street, bang.
Maybe Morecambe and Wise were long gone, weren't they?
They were dead by then, were they? Well, no, Ernie Wise was still alive.
Well, you got your Coronation Street, you got your Generation Game, perhaps?
Possibly.
Shut that door.
Shut that door.
And some other stuff, yeah.
EastEnders, I'd say, was probably... No, when did EastEnders start?
80.
They've just had their anniversary, haven't they?
Yeah, of how many years?
All right, 25 years.
Yeah, about 25 years, so 85, probably.
Right, so that could have been up there. Then you probably got your other shows.
Yes.
Right. It changed its name to Strike It Rich in 1996... following a change of production companies and the lifting of the Independent Broadcasting Authority's prize limits.
When did the unfortunate incident happen?
2001.
Oh, right, OK.
Yeah, so Strike It Lucky and Strike It Rich were, of course, way before that.
Yeah, but he was probably drinking.
I should imagine he was drinking, yeah. He was probably drinking heavily throughout 1986 to 1999. However, that didn't affect his performance. Mind you, towards the end... If you watch some of the later Strike It Rich editions, he is a bit kind of...
Bit wobbly, is he?
Yeah, a bit wobbly. But he's certainly not the Barrymore of his prime in 1986 when it started.
Do we know what his favourite tipple was?
Hey?
His favourite tipple.
I would say it was probably Bailey's.
I'd go for a Lager Shandy.
A Lager Top?
No, Lager Shandy, there's a difference.
Yeah, there is.
About 2 inches of lemonade.
Yes. So you think an alcoholic is going to drink Lager Shandy?
Well, he's not your average alcoholic, is he?
Huh?
You all right?
Can you just fill in a minute?
You all right?
I'm all... I've got a bit of a... Huh?
So, yeah, Michael Barrymore, at this point, was drinking heavily while presenting...
Just bear with me.
Striking It Rich. And I presume... Well, if you've seen the show, it involves banks and televisions, the sale of... Well, not sale, winning of VHS recorders, food mixers, teas made.
Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hello. Sorry, I was just getting a bit of throat spray. I had a frog in my throat.
An actual frog?
Oh, not a real frog, obviously.
So did you want to... Should we just go for the show?
Right, yeah. I think, it's about time. We recreated this game show. Regular listeners know the drill here. You have to pick a persona and pick a name. And I would, of course, be Barrymore.
Well, who shall I go for?
Well, I don't know. Any particular name in mind, Clive?
Should we go with Clive?
Clive, yeah, that's a nice name. Right, well, we'll start off right in the beginning, which is, I suppose, the announcement. So if you'd like to be quiet...
I'm just going to find a lighter while you do that.
Right, OK. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday night. It's Strike It Lucky. I forgot how the theme tune goes.
Hang on, I'll be a sec.
How's the theme tune go?
Strike it lucky.
Everybody struck it lucky. You struck it lucky. He struck it lucky. Everyone's a lucky fucker. Was that it?
Hang on.
Oh, well, for the benefit of viewers to ITV, Clive has just gone off to find a lighter.
Well, I'm ready, Barrymore.
All right, Clive.
Do I say all right?
Let me just start again here from the beginning. We've done the music, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host, Michael Barrymore! It's ITV, so there's probably a few of these and all. Woo! Do the... Keep doing that. Woo! Hey, Ma! Woo!
All right, I say, my name's Michael Barrymore, all right?
Did the audience shout it back at that point?
Yeah, you be the audience.
All right.
All right. Right, all right, now then, it's time to play Strike It Lucky. And today's contestants are Clive and his lovely Tyburai. All right, Clive.
Ty Bride.
Yeah, there's two people. Well, in fact, there's actually three sets of contestants on Strike It Lucky. So we're going to ignore the other two. And you and your lovely Ty Bride are going to play, Clive. Is that all right?
There's two issues. I've got two issues there.
Why? What?
Firstly, you sound like Jim Davidson.
No.
Secondly, Ty Bride, that makes me sound like I've shopped a woman off the internet.
Well, you have, Clive. I mean, well, we're going to get to the whole point of this. Sorry. All right. The whole point of this, Clive, is we're going to get to your eccentric and strange stories of how you met your wife in the Far East or off of the internet in a moment. All right?
All right.
Right. So, Clive, how did you meet your exotic wife?
She's a former Miss World. I saw her on the television. Sorry?
All right.
I saw her on the television. I was with one of my friends. I said, that woman, she must be my wife. So off we went to Thailand. I wined and dined her. She was a former Miss World, as I said, and the daughter of a dignitary. And within a couple of days, we were married.
All right. So being a hideously ugly bald man, what you did was you sent off for a catalogue, you picked her out of that, you sent off your money. All right. And then they sent her back through the post. Is that right, Clive?
Well, it's not, but no.
Right, no. Lovely. Well, if you'd like to take your positions, Clive, you'll be answering the questions, and your lovely Thai bride will be over there in the arch-like podium-type thing with all the screens over there. Do you see?
Yes.
Right, so you stay where you are, Clive, and your wife is now over there.
So I go over there, do I? With her.
No, you stay where you are, Clive, on the podium. Your lovely Thai bride is now over there, all right?
So I stay here, then?
Yeah, because you're answering the questions, aren't you, Clive?
All right.
All right. Now then, I think we all know how the game's played, so let's just get on with it, shall we? We've had the eccentric stories. So we'll move on to the first category, Clive. Is it 2, 3, or 4?
What, the category?
Yeah, your first category, Clive, which I should just have a look here, is noises of the arse. Would you like 2, 3, or 4 moves?
Oh, right.
You see, do you remember how it works?
Vaguely, yeah.
You get some categories, and then he says, would you like to answer 2 questions, 3 questions, or 4 questions? Depending on how many you answer, is how far you get across the board.
3.
Do you see?
3.
Right, you want 3? Ooh, 3, Clive. Blimey. Right, well, shit, I've lost my board. Hang on. Right, here we go. Right, question one. I've got to give you your categories. I've got to give you the answers here. You ready, Clive?
Yep.
Right. Fart, squeak, pop, fernt, or parubububa. Okay, Clive?
Fernt.
Yes, fernt. Noises of the arse, Clive.
Right, well, I'm confused, Barrymore.
Well, these are the answers. Now you've got to, I'll give you the questions. You've got to pick which one of these is the answer to these questions, Clive.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, yeah.
Right, so just to reiterate, fart, squeak, pop, fern, parubububa. Okay. Mm. Question one, which is most likely to come off of the arse of a mouse?
Squeak.
Squeak. Well done, Clive. That's audience noise there. Okay.
Mm.
Question number two, which noise would you hear following a surprise, such as a death?
Fernt.
No, Clive, that's pop. You got that wrong.
Right.
Right, so you can either ask, question 3 or 4, which would you like?
Give me 4.
Okay, which one is most likely to be made by a recovering NHS patient following gastric surgery? Well done, Clive. So that's 2 out of 3. The other question was, which is a Scotch fart brought about by a diet of fried food and brewed iron?
And what was the answer?
Fernt. Okay, Clive, we'll go over to the board. Your lovely typewriter's over there now. You have two moves. Are you ready? What's her name? What's the Oriental name? Mylene? That's a nice name.
Yeah, Mylene, yeah.
Mylene, would you like to press your first button? Okay. Oh, Clive, it's a portable toilet. Would you like to bank it or would you like to move on?
Move on.
You're moving on, Clive?
Confident, yeah, I'm confident.
Okay, we'll move on. Mylene, if you'd like to press a button. Okay. Oh, it's a hotspot, Clive.
That means another question, doesn't it?
No, doesn't it? It means you've lost the portable toilet.
I didn't really want it anyway.
Right, okay, Clive. So we move on to the next set of categories. Are you ready?
Yep.
This is on EastEnders. All right?
That's on a rival channel. They wouldn't do that.
Well, that's neither here nor there. Okay. Your categories are, your answers are Dirty Den, Lofty, Pete Beale, Rolly the Alsatian, and The Rover's Return. So how many would you like, Clive? Two, three, or four?
All four.
Oh, you go for four. Fair dues. Question one. Which landlord shot a German taxi driver and masturbated onto the internet?
Character?
Landlord.
Dirty Den.
That was the Dirty Den. Well done, Clive. You see?
Yes.
Right, what character, all right, produces dog feces off of its anus?
Rolly the Poodle.
Rolly the Alsatian. Well done, Clive. Who wears glasses and parka jackets? All right.
Lofty.
Lofty. Well done, Clive. You're on a roll here. And question number four. What is the name of the local pub?
What were the options remaining?
Dirty Den, Lofty, Pete Beale, Rolly the Alsatian, or The Rover's Return?
Well, out of them, it's The Rover's Return.
It's The Rover's Return. Well done, Clive. And we now move over to Eileen. And it's for your next one, Clive. And the are you going to press the button, Eileen?
Okay.
And it's toilet paper, Clive. You want some toilet paper? Do you want to bank it or do you want to move on?
Move on.
Okay. Would you like to press the button, Eileen?
Yes.
Right, commode. You want a commode, Clive? Would you like to bank it or would you like to move on?
Why is everything to do with the toilet, Barrymore?
I don't make the rules, Clive.
Move on.
Okay. Would you press the button, please, Eileen?
Yes.
Right, here we go. Oh, Clive, you won a surgical support brace that helps you lower yourself onto the toilet. Would you like to bank it? Would you like to move on?
Move on.
Well, you are gambling with toilet paper, a commode and a surgical support brace that helps you lower yourself onto the toilet, Clive.
No, I still want to move on, Barrymore.
Are you sure you want to do this, Clive?
All right, let's stick with it.
Oh, OK, Clive. Right, well done. So far, those are in the bank. You've won those, Clive. They're in the bank.
What have I won again?
You've won toilet paper, commode and a surgical support brace that helps you lower yourself onto the toilet.
Right, what happens now?
Right, it's your next category, Clive. You ready?
Mm.
This is called the Art of the Potato. Okay. Are you ready, Clive?
Yep.
Right, your answers are Pedando, Spadato, King Jedward, Jersey Boyle and Billy Piper.
Billy Piper?
Yes.
She's not a potato.
Clive?
Yes.
Two, three, or four?
Four, please.
Right. Question one. Which of these was definitely not murdered by the soft fruit, Berry George?
Jill Dando.
The Pedando. Well done, Clive. Question number two. Which of these is what you'd get if you crossed a spud with a potato to create a super potato?
Spadato.
Spadato. Well done, Clive. Which of these came second in the potato version of The X Factor?
Jedwards?
No, it was Jersey Boyle.
Oh, blast.
You see?
Yes.
Well, you've still another chance. Which of these had to part up with getting knobbed up off of Chris Evans?
Billy Piper.
Billy Piper, well done, Clive. You got three. Whee! Can you do the... I mean, I'm swapping papers. Right, lovely. Where are we? Right, you got three. You ready, Clive?
Yeah.
Sorry, Mylene. Yes. Here we go. It's a signed photograph of Cliff Richard bent over, anus to the camera, looking down into the toilet at his leavings for signs of Crohn's disease.
What?
It's a photograph, Clive, signed by Cliff Richard.
What, I win that, do I?
You've won that, yes.
Ace.
Would you like to bank it or would you like to move on?
Move on.
Right, it's a fart trapped inside a glass jar done by Elvis in 1957.
Mm.
You want that?
I'll keep that, yeah.
Well, so you're banking, you're stopping.
Well, shall I carry on?
It's up to you, Clive. You can either bank or, well, your next one's a question, so you might as well move on.
Let's move on.
Right, OK, question. And this is to get the lot here, Clive.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you screw this up, you're buggered. You ready?
Yeah.
You'd really strike it lucky if you woke up on Christmas Day and found Linda Lou Sardi under the tree. What's Linda Lou Sardi most famous for?
Page 3 work.
Getting her tits out in the papers. Well done, Clive, you're on to the jackpot. Can you, are you doing the applause?
I just did, yeah.
Oh, right, sorry. Right, we'll move on to the jackpot round, Clive. Are you ready?
Yes.
Right, here we go. Here's the rules. I think you know the rules, but I'll explain them. Here we go. You play the game as you did before, but this time you play horizontally and vertically. I'll ask you which move you want to make. You shout out top, middle or bottom. If you look at the screens now, you can see we've got 10 questions, 10 arrows and 10 hotspots. If a question comes up, it'll be true or false. If you give me an incorrect answer, it becomes a hotspot. For a correct answer, you gain another move. Now, if you go for our top money tonight at £10,000, you cannot hit more than 2 hotspots. For £7,000, no more than 3. And for £5,000, 4. If you go for our top money and fail to get all the way across, we'll give you £500 for every successful move you make. If you go for £7,000, we give you £350, and for £5,000, it's £250. Before you make your mind up, the computer will now jumble them all up. Blah, 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 blah. So, what do you want to do, Clive?
I'm a bit lost. What are my options?
You've got £10,000. All right.
I love £10,000, please.
Oh, you're going for it, Clive. Are you sure about that? You're only allowed 2 hotspots?
Yeah, okay.
Right, oh, fair dues. Let me get me... right, the computer has jumbled the board. So, let me get me questions, Clive. You ready?
Yeah, all I'm always the questions, ready.
Well, just shut up! All of the questions that are about to come are true or false, Clive. Are you ready?
Yep.
Right, your first one, would you like to go top, middle, bottom?
Let's go middle.
Oh, that's a hot spot, Clive, already. You should have gone for the £7,000.
Can I go for £7,000, please,
Barrymore?
OK,
you go for the £7,000, which allows you... Hold on, let me look back at my rules here. Yeah, that allows you 3 hot spots. All right, Clive?
Yeah, 3 more now, yeah.
Excuse me. Right, where do you want to go? Right, you've got 1 hot spot. Remember this.
I'll go top.
Top. Bang. Arrow, Clive. Well done. Top, middle, bottom.
Bottom.
Bottom question, Clive.
Mm.
Ooh, true or false? Russia was annexed by East Anglia in 1956.
Incorrect.
Well done, Clive. You move on. Top, middle or bottom?
Bottom, please.
Well done, Clive. That's an arrow. We're going across the board here. Like lightning. All right?
All right.
Right. Top, middle, bottom?
Top.
Middle, Clive.
What?
Go for the middle, Clive.
You're cheating, Barrymore. Middle.
Do you want to go for the top?
Middle.
Middle. Well, well done, Clive. It's a question. True or false, Cliff Richard's real name is Squinwort Humplehurst?
False.
That is false, Clive. Well done. Top, middle, bottom?
Top.
Top. That's an arrow, Clive. Top, middle, bottom?
Bottom.
Bottom. That's an arrow, Clive. Top, middle, bottom?
Middle.
That's a fucking arrow again, Clive. You're doing well here. Top, middle, bottom?
Bottom.
That's a question, yes, that's a question, Clive. Fantastic. A jizzwich is a sandwich with a jism filling. True or false?
That's true or false, is it?
Yes, a jizzwich is a sandwich with a jism filling.
I'm not sure, Barrymore, that's either true or false.
Well, that is the whole point of the exercise, Clive.
True.
Oh, it's false. A jizzwich is a jizzing witch. So that's turned into a hotspot, Clive. Oh, you're only allowed 1 more hotspot. And then you've lost the game.
I've only had 2 hotspots.
Yeah, well, you're only allowed 3, aren't you?
No, I'm allowed 4.
No, you're not. You're allowed 3 because you've gone for the £7,000 prize.
Right, carry on, Barrymore.
All right, top, middle, bottom, Clive. This is it. This is the decider.
Bottom, please.
Oh, Clive, it's a question. If you get this right, you've won £7,000. Are you ready?
Yep.
OK, hold on. Ah, here we are. Amanda Holdham's put Holly's Willoughby's to shame. True or false?
False.
That is false, Clive. Well, you're one of the £7,000! That's absolutely magnificent, Clive. Today you walk away, you and your lovely mail order bride walk away with £7,000. And where's your prizes? What did you win?
Surgical brace for getting on the toilet.
That's right, you want some toilet paper, a commode, a surgical support brace that helps you lower yourself onto the toilet, a signed photograph of Cliff Richard bent over, anus to the camera, looking down into the toilet, his leavings, the signs of Crohn's disease, a fart trapped inside a glass jar done by Elvis in 1957, and the star prize of £7,000. How do you feel, Clive?
I've had a lovely time. £7,000, lucky me.
Oh, I'm a bit warm now.
Yeah, that warmed me up a little bit.
It was. I mean, that Barrymore is an energetic fella.
But I'm chilled out by the cool prospect of a cool £7,000.
Not bad, that is it. £7,000, eh? I mean, all that toilet-related business you won as well. I think you're probably very pleased with your little haul.
I'll be wiping my bottom on fivers now.
Exactly. You've got a signed photo of Cliff Richard to look at. You've got everything there. You've got something. You don't ever need to lower yourself onto the toilet ever again.
When will I get a sniff of the 7K?
You need to write to Central Television in Birmingham and just ask for the money.
Does that still exist, does it?
Central? Yeah.
Right.
I imagine so. Yeah. Anyway, well done. You know, yeah, I think you did very well there.
Thanks. What do we do now?
Right, well, I mean, it really remains for us to cover the final years of Barrymore's career, which, of course, were the wilderness years.
Yeah, we better be a bit careful.
We are careful. I think we can sum it up pretty much as this. He came out in 1995 as gay. He then divorced in 1997. He went a bit booze mad. Then he moved to New Zealand after his show Kids Say the Funniest Things was pulled following the whole incident. And then after that, he's made sporadic comeback appearances. First off with Big Brother, which he came second in 2006. Did you watch that?
I watched the lot. He was a bit of a mess.
Yeah, a bit of a mess. Was he as much of a mess as Les Dennis or that big fat thing?
I'd say he was more of a mess, but he was taunted by politician George Galloway, who at one point said, Oh, Barrymore, you and your pour me attitude, pour me another drink.
Blimey, Charlie, I thought George Galloway was a teetotaler.
Well, yeah, he was mocking Barrymore's boozy habits.
Ah, right, well, that's not right. Now, mind you, George Galloway isn't a nice man, is he? So, fair enough.
He's a bit of an anus.
Yeah, he's a bit of an arsehole. Anyway, after that, he did the Friday Night Project with M2.
Who's M2?
Yeah, no, M2. The woolly one that looks like a shrunk Bee Gee. And his shrieking friend.
Oh, I know the one.
Yeah,
you mean,
right, yeah. He did that. But then loads of people did that. Noel Edmonds did that, didn't he?
Did he?
He did, yeah. Noel Edmonds presented it.
I hated that show.
Oh, I love Noel Edmonds. Anyway, after that, he then came along and he did Celebrity Come Dine With Me, where he came back into the closet.
Yeah, we were discussing this beforehand. Are you able to go back into the closet?
I think you are, as long as you don't talk about it.
Well, I don't know. Surely the whole point of coming out of the closet is because you don't want to go back into the closet.
What happens if you liked it in the closet?
I suppose every Barrymore's got the prerogative to change his mind.
Indeed they do. So, well, that's what he did. Apparently on that he was a bit mad as well. I assume you watched it.
Yeah, I watched it. He was anarchic yet again. His own brand of studied anarchy.
Right, okay. So a bit mad.
Food fights, all that business.
All that nonsense. Right, well, anyway, then he did, Panto and the usual thing. And then, just as you thought, nah, this man's a lost bloody cause, the final TV appearance Michael Barrymore's made was on RTE, which is the Irish channel, on the Saturday Night Show, where he first pretended to be a chicken, and then he claimed to be Jedward's dad.
Right.
He sired Jedward.
But he's lying about
that,
surely. No,
he's not. What he's done there, you see, is he's bookended television.
How has he done that? Because you've lost me. I'm sorry. I apologise, but I'm lost.
Right, because he started in 1973. And Jed Wood started about 3 years ago, and now all three of them turns out to be related. Do you see? He's bookended television.
I have to admit, I've drawn a blank. I'm completely lost.
There you go. That's the career of Michael Barrymore. Did you like it?
Bits of it, yeah.
Yeah? Which bits did you like?
I like winning £7,000.
Well, like I say, you'll have to take that up with Central Television.
But surely you must have some... You must hold sway at Central.
Well, I'm not Michael Barrymore, am I?
Well, I thought you were.
No, I'm a humble internet tape recorder, radio, whatever this is person. I'm a fictional character. I don't even exist.
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with love. No. Yes. Watch with love. Watch with mothers. Yes, I will watch with mothers.
Barrymore!
So, Barrymore fans, that is the end of the Barrymore podcast.
That's a lot. No stone has been left unturned.
And I certainly feel that I know Barrymore intimately.
Now. I know the lot. I know if I was held at gunpoint in a Guatemalan prisoner of war camp, following the war between Great Britain and Guatemala, I was inquisitioned by a large man with a moustache and a cigar, said, "Tell me about the Barrymore." I would know everything.
Are they fans of Barrymore in Guatemala?
They watch all of Barrymore's shows in Guatemala, yes. So I don't think we need to carry on with that.
So, you said no stone was left unturned. We very deliberately did leave a stone unturned.
If you imagine a plane that was originally covered in stones, are you there?
Yeah.
Right. Now imagine it with no stones.
But there is one heavy stone unturned.
No, there isn't a stone in sight. They've all been overturned and then removed. You see?
So we're leaving the unfortunate incident to be shrouded in mystery.
It is shrouded in a veil of mystery, do you see?
Absolutely.
To be fair, you know, well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't really want to go into that. This is supposed to be a bit of fun.
All right, yeah, fair dues.
Yeah, so I suppose it only remains for me to say goodbye from, it's goodbye from him.
Who, me?
Oh, no, that was the two Ronnies, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's goodbye from our kind of people, I guess.
Yeah, goodbye from your... I'll tell you what, Swinezed, you're definitely my kind of person.
Well, you do you do say the funniest things.
So do you. And I hope that for at least the foreseeable future, until you've got the results back, you'll be all right.
Cue my kind of music.
Do you see what I did there?
Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers.